Good evening. All right. Good to see you all. Thank you, Altar Committee, for that fantastic meal. Yes. I didn't get a potato, but I ate really well. I actually had a baked potato for lunch today. I brought that for my lunch, and so I got my potato today. So I'm happy. So what a nice evening. What a beautiful day. And we're just continuing on with our Lenten journey. So let's open with a word of prayer, and then I'll turn it over to Amy. So let us pray. Let us pray in quiet remembrance of our need for redemption. Father in heaven, the light of your truth bestows sight to the darkness of sinful eyes. May this season of repentance bring us the blessing of your forgiveness and the gift of your light. Grant this through Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy, hear my prayer.
All right, well, let's do a little singing. We're going to just sing a couple songs you'll find up on the screen. The first one is a gospel hymn, There is Power in the Blood. This is a really loud mic tonight, isn't it? And then the second song we'll sing is called Above All.
Would you be free from the burden of sin?
There is power in the blood, power in the blood.
Would you or evil a victory win?
There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There is power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's top. There is wonderful power in the blood. There is power, wonder working power in the
praises to sing.
There is
God is working. I couldn't have picked a better song to fit with the theme for tonight. We start off praising God for how high he is, and then we're singing praises because he's crucified for us. A scripture reading, the gospel lesson that I want to read for you tonight, will set the stage for what we're going to hear in a little bit from Psalm 113. This is the center point of our message tonight. From Mark chapter 10, this will set the stage for what you're going to read in Psalm 113. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Isn't that great? Whatever we ask. "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and one on your left in your glory." "You don't know what you are asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink or be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with, but to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those whom they have been prepared for." When the ten heard this, they became indignant with James and John. Nobody likes people trying to get ahead of them. Jesus called them together and said, and here it comes, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant, and whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and give his life as a ransom for many." Let us pray. Jesus, you are telling us about your passion, death, and resurrection for us. Too often we are fighting over which of us is the greatest. To take this journey with you is to take a journey that draws us to be with you in it. May we give thanks to God our Father, for through the power of the Spirit he purifies our heart and strengthens us in love. And may we humbly ask him, "Lord, give us your Spirit. Help us to receive good things from your bounty with a deep sense of gratitude, and to accept with patience whatever else comes to us. Teach us to be loving, not only in great and exceptional moments, but above all in the ordinary events of daily life. May we look beyond what we do not really need and help our brothers and sisters in distress. May we embrace the servanthood of you, Jesus, for you did not come to be served, but to serve, and you have given your life as a ransom for us. Thanks be to God. Tonight, in keeping with this theme of this almighty and glorious God coming down to us to serve us, I want to take a look at Psalm 113. In Hebrew custom, this psalm is the first in a group of six psalms, Psalm 113 to 118, called the Hallel, which in Hebrew means simply praise. These six psalms, this group, is often sung at the three great festivals within the Hebrew year: Passover, the Festival of Weeks, and the Festival of Tabernacles. In the church, they are used in the Easter season to remind us of the way the Lord blessed the cup. It is probably this group of psalms, Psalm 113 to 118, that was sung by Jesus and his disciples as they celebrated their last Passover meal and their first communion. So I want to just point out some beautiful things of this psalm. We'll entitle this "The God Who Stoops." Psalm 113, verses 4 through 9. "The Lord is exalted over all the nations, his glory above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God? the one who sits enthroned on high, who stoops down to look on the heavens and on the earth. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap. He seats them with princes, with the princes of his people. He settles the childless woman in her home as a happy mother of children. Praise the Lord. What an amazing stretch we see in this psalm, where we go from a God who has to stoop to see what's in heaven, and within the next line, he's down in the ash heap helping us. I want to just briefly look at the threefold thought flow of this psalm. The first reason to praise the Lord is he is exalted. And this is a look at God's exalted position. He is over all the nations. He is the sovereign world power. But his glory is even above the heavens. He has to stoop to look to see what's in heaven. He's simply beyond our reach. We cannot fathom how glorious and powerful and removed he is from us. He sits enthroned on high, and that means he's a king. As king, his throne and rule are unquestionable as he rules over heaven and earth. But we move into the second reason to praise the Lord, and that is that he stoops. What a marvelous thought. Just notice the he has to stoop to look to see what's in heaven, and then in the next line, in the very next line, he's in the ash heap. He stoops down to look. So we see an attitude, but we also see the extent of his reach. He has to stoop to look to see what's in heaven, but then he acts for the helpless. He comes down to the ash heap. And what does he do? Just look and say, oh man, that's really sad. No, he acts. He raises the poor from the dust and the ashes. And this brings us to the third reason to praise the Lord. And that's that he exalts others. He doesn't just come down and look and say, well, you really made a mess out of things, Brad. Too bad for you. You made your bed, now you have to lie in it, right? No. This is where we see his power, his compassionate power, his power used for others. And he seats those from the ash heap as princes and princesses. He restores a childless woman as a mother. His power is restorative. He can reverse things in our lives. And so tonight, on our Lenten journey, we think about the fulfillment of this psalm. It's got a name, and it's got a face. It's Jesus Christ. The first fulfillment we want to take a look at is from Philippians chapter 2. And this is the God who stoops, and notice the order here. We're going to look at Christ's exaltation, just like we did in Psalm 113. We looked at how high God is above everything, and then how he stoops. We're going to see this in Philippians 2. Notice the order: Christ's exaltation and then his humiliation. I want you to get this order because it's going to get reversed in the next slide. So the Apostle Paul wrote this about Christ Jesus, who, being in the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used for his own advantage. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to death, even death on a cross. There's the fulfillment of what we saw in Psalm 113, a God so exalted that he has to stoop to see what's in heaven. And all of a sudden, he's down in the ashes, lifting us, helping us. But there's another fulfillment of Psalm 113, and this is the fulfillment for us. We're going to look at Ephesians 2, and we'll see that the God who raises and restores, and we're going to see the reversal now. Notice he's going to take us in our humiliation and exalt us. Paul writes this, "You were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live. We were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace." Notice the inversion. We were humiliated and we were exalted. And that happened because Christ was humiliated for us and raised us up, even though he was highly exalted. And he is highly exalted again, this Lord of ours. He promises that he's coming back a second time, and we look forward to that. He won't come back as a suffering servant. He will come back as the glorious king and his real identity. But here we have it on our Lenten journey. We have this God who is so high, he must stoop to see what's in heaven. And yet he has come down and humbled himself, being cursed on a cross for us. Oh, what a Lenten journey we have, folks. What a blessed time as we walk through these weeks to savor the greatness of God, the incomparable greatness of his power, not to destroy, but to restore. Let us pray. God of love, through this Lenten journey, purify my desires to serve you. Free me from temptations to judge others or to place myself above them. Please let me surrender even my impatience, that with your love and your grace, I might be less and less absorbed with myself and more in awe of your greatness and the power displayed in your compassionate love to forgive sinners. Lord, in your mercy,
closing song tonight is a favorite hymn, "How Great Thou Art." Thank you.
great evening. Good food, Grace Youth, you crushed it tonight. Thanks for bussing tables and cleaning up. You guys rocked. So let's give them a hand, shall we? We really do appreciate you. Would you please rise? Receive the Lord's blessing tonight. May the Lord bless you, and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve the Lord as you walk your Lenten journey. Thanks be to God.